We looked a couple weeks ago at just the whole thing of that. We started with God's original desire to encounter human beings. Like, that's the reason we were created. He created people for interaction, to dwell with them. That's the reason we exist. Like, people ask, what's the meaning of life? I think the primary meaning of life is to live in relationship and connection with God. That's the primary meaning of life. That's why he put us here. It's why he made Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And it's why Revelation 21 and 22, he's joining heaven to earth, new heavens and new earth. And he said, you know, the tabernacle of God is with men. Like, that's the culmination of human history is in this age as we know it, is heaven joining to earth and God being with humans for eternity beyond that. Like, that's what we're heading towards. And so we looked at that, just God's desire to be with humans and encounter humans. And last week we looked at, kind of on a personal level or an individual level, how walking in obedience, walking in righteousness, walking in holiness, it's not a thing about earning salvation or anything like that from God, but it's about posturing ourselves or positioning ourselves where we can relate to him more. We looked at Psalm 15 and Psalm 24, which they start with this phrase, "Who can ascend the hill of the Lord?" And we talked about how that, for them, that would have drawn up or drummed up pictures of Moses going up into the mountain, Mount Sinai, and encountering God on the mountain. It spoke of meeting with God and encountering God. And then in those two Psalms, it lays out, and then also we looked at Isaiah 66, it lays out people who have these marks about them in their life, who, like, he who has clean hands and a pure heart and all these things, these are ones who can ascend and dwell in the hill of the Lord. These are ones, as Isaiah said, these are the ones who can dwell with everlasting burnings, who can dwell with the all-consuming fire. It's a thing of not earning any favor from God, but it's us living in such a way that we can encounter him. Like, I remember hearing one statement said, is that so many Christians are miserable and or bored because they have two things going on. One, they have too much sin in their life to be able to enjoy God, and they have too much of God in their life to be able to enjoy sin, right? And that's where it's kind of funny, but it's actually indicative of the struggle a lot of believers, like, we can find ourselves in. It's that, like, an interesting thing is Psalm 45:7. This came up Thursday night a little bit, but it's a verse that I often like to quote, the last part of it, where it's a messianic psalm about Jesus, and it says, "You are anointed with the oil of gladness more than all your companions." Anybody remember me saying that before? Remember that? Hey, Eli listens. Yes. All right. But it says that at the end of the verse, but the beginning of the verse is, it says, "You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God has anointed you with the oil of gladness," so on and so forth. There's a connection between walking uprightly and walking in holiness to the, you know, and it's not so much the statement of our ability to do it, but our intention to do it. If our heart is set on walking right, he sees that and rewards that. He comes to us. So it's this thing of when we set our hearts to walk in uprightness, when we set our hearts to turn from wickedness, there's a promise of joy that comes. Like, holiness is not supposed to be a grumpy thing. Like, holiness is actually linked with joy. It's linked with joy. That is something that I think the enemy has definitely done a great job of twisting and lying to the church about. We have this thinking that holy people are really unpleasant to be around. And whereas the word actually links holiness and joy in a number of places. All right, so we talked about obedience in such a way as saying yes to what God loves for the purpose of aligning ourselves to where we can actually receive from him. We can actually taste and see that he is good. That was the point of that. And what I want to look at a bit this morning is more of a corporate level, and it's this whole thing of praise and worship, but primarily praise. And what got me thinking of this, and actually I think started the whole thought process for this whole thing was, this whole series idea was, there's a song that Brian Johnson wrote, and it's not on any, like, recorded albums or anything, but I stumbled onto it, and it's, the title of the song is "Praises the Highway," and the chorus says, "Praises the highway to the throne of God, praises the highway to the heart of God, praises the highway to the move of God. And he's saying, and it's something like, I look at what's going on at their church there in Bethel, and I go, okay, yeah, I think you know what you're talking about, because they, like, they've been hosting a move of God for many years now, with like just like real quick, Mike, this morning you got prayed for your knee, right? Did it get healed? Yeah, that's really cool. That's really cool. Like. I love that stuff, right? Like, and that is a good thing. That is a really good thing that we want to see more of. And it's, I think of that because, like, at Bethel, like, they've got, if you go to their website, they've got countless testimonies of people being healed in their midst. And it's the kingdom of God coming and being demonstrated, God displaying his love by changing people's lives for the better. That's kind of what that's about. And Luke 9, he says, when he sent the disciples out, he said, go and preach the kingdom and heal the sick. They go hand in hand. The kingdom is demonstrated by healing the sick. Like, it's one of the key ways the kingdom of God is demonstrated. He's saying, this is what I'm about. The world is about sin and decay and death. He says, my kingdom is about life and health and restoration. That's healing goes hand in hand with the kingdom of God coming. But anyways, they've been seeing this stuff happen at their church for a long time. And they wrote this song about, they're saying, praise is the way to that stuff happening. Praise is the highway to the throne of God. Like, it's praise is the highway. It's making a way for the kingdom of God to come, is the idea. It's the highway to the heart of God. It's when we enter into praise, it unlocks an ability for us to tap into the heart of God, to actually see him and know him a little bit more. And it's a highway to the move of God. When we praise, we give him room to move and do what he wants to do. And so I just want to look at this a little bit. First off, I looked up like a definition of praise. I think praise is one of those words that we hear a ton in church community. It's almost like Christianese, like, but what is praise? Like, can we define what it is? And so, like, I just looked up a definition of it because that seemed like a good place to start. And Cambridge Dictionary says, praise is to express admiration or warm approval. I like that wording. Warm approval of the achievements or characteristics of a person or thing. Okay? It's and so just breaking that down, praise is an expression. It's to express admiration and warm approval. It's not something that's silent, right? Like, for us to praise something or someone, you have to verbally express it, right? It's not something you can just think. It's praise is something that is expressed. It has to be expressed. When we praise God, there's not a place of silence in praise. There just isn't. Praise is expressed. It's verbal. It's expressed. I don't know. I'm just saying the same thing over and over again. It's expressed. Admiration. Admiration is respect and warm approval, which is the same wording in there. Like, I love that that thing of, and there's also a definition of pleasurable contemplation. There's this thing of we think on who he is and what he's done. We had that a little bit. Rachel called that up a little bit, and we're singing Revelation song. We just thinking of who he is and what he's done, and then it's expressing our warm approval or admiration of those things that we're dwelling on. We think of who he is, and we express admiration of those things that come to mind. Approval is agreement with him. When we approve of something, we agree with it. When I was set in as an elder a few years back, there was approval of me from the other elders, from the church, and from, if you remember, Steve Best and Dave Campbell were there as well. And just there was a general approval of me as an elder, and with that was the agreement that I'd be set in as one. It's just as an example, like when we approve of something, we agree with it, right? And so praise is agreeing with who God is and what he does. Achievements is for what he has done. Characteristics relates to who he is. And so praise is this whole thing of we contemplate, we think of, we become mindful of who God is, his nature and characteristics as is laid out in the word, and we think of the things he's done. We think of how, for whatever reason, he decided to heal Mike's knee this morning, which is cool. Debbie, let us know how the smell thing goes. Like, I'm interested to hear about that. I like that. We think of things like that, how he's touched our lives, the ways he's led us, the ways he's spoken to us, things like that. And then we express admiration and approval and agreement with those things. That's praise, and it's easily done through song. That's like the easiest way to do it. Does that kind of make sense? Like, we're talking about there's a thing where we need to, as believers, express. We need to be verbal. We need to let out our agreement and approval with who God is and what he does. There's an expression that needs to happen, right? And so I love when you look through the Psalms, it's like David is talking about this over and over and over and over again about statements like how he's going to praise God regardless of what people think. Like, he looks forward to praising God with his whole heart in the sanctuary. Like, he talks about these things over and over again. I think it was Psalm 65. I love the phrasing he used. 65 verse 1, he says, "Praise is awaiting you." Here, like, he's calling on God, like, to come encounter. He says, praise is awaiting you here. I just love that thing of, it's like he's saying, we're here, we're ready to praise, we're ready to express our love and admiration of you. I like that wording. Like, it's almost like daring God to come because there's praise waiting for you here. I like the heart behind that. But there's a thing where as a body, when we corporately express praise, when we release it, it makes way for him to come. It makes way for, we've talked for a couple of years about the kingdom and seeking the kingdom and desiring the kingdom of God to be expressed in our midst. Praise is a key to unlocking that. It absolutely is. So this other statement, the whole approval thing, praise is a statement of agreement with who God is and what he does. And that's important because, as we've talked about before, the enemy loves to accuse or lie about who God is to us. It's, I think I mentioned this last week even, 2 Corinthians 10, that the weapons of our warfare are about casting down every thought or everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Warfare is about recognizing a lie from the enemy about who God is and taking it captive and replacing it with truth. Praise is agreeing with who God is. Praise is actually an act of warfare in that it is rejecting lies about God and declaring truth about who he is. It's absolutely warfare. It's absolutely a weapon. It doesn't necessarily feel like it, but when we declare with strength who God is, especially in song, I don't know why God lined everything up to be with so much involved with music, but he does. And when we declare it, especially in song, it actually makes a statement, not only to each other, not only to our hearts, but angels and demons and powers and principalities hear and recognize that we align ourselves with who God is. Like, I don't know why. It seems like a simple thing, but simply declaring and expressing praise is an act of denying lies and agreeing with who God is. It's an act of warfare. And again, it's the thing of, it has to be verbally expressed. There's two passages. Romans 10 verse 9 is where Paul says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he raised from the dead, you will be saved. Like, the confession of our mouth, just the word spoken, that I believe Jesus is the Son of God, has the power to save our souls. That's amazing. Just the confession of our mouths, the power that is in our words, we have no idea the power that God gives us in the words that we speak. It's like James unpacks, like, there's power of life and death in the tongue. We can release life and we can cut people down and kill them, in a sense, with our mouth, with our words. Our words are powerful. James 5:16 says, there's power when we confess our sins. He comes to us, he heals us, he restores us. There's power in our confessions. And so when we sing, when we praise, when we confess what we believe of him and who he is, it actually changes things. It actually makes a difference. Praise is a powerful confession that we make. It aligns us with his kingdom. Remember last week we talked about the whole thing when, I'm sure a few of you thought I was maybe going to split my pants, the whole thing of sin and how the whole thing of how we turn from sin and turn towards God. But there's this thing we think of obedience and holiness as just resisting sin. But the whole thing is, if we don't turn from sin and turn the other way, we're still, remember this thing, we're still presenting ourselves to sin, right? This thing of presenting ourselves. Praise is a way that we present ourselves to God. We set our mind on him. We set our eyes on him. We set our declarations on him. We're presenting ourselves to him. That's a way we turn to him and away from the other stuff. And we don't split our pants in the process. So, what does praise do? Okay? There's a couple things, like just from the scripture that I want to point out that kind of point to these things. Two things it does. Number one, praise creates a throne or a resting place for God in our midst. Psalm 22:3 says, "You are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel." And there's this thing that I think it was David who wrote it, saw that said when we praise, when we offer a sacrifice of praise, when we come to him with praise, it actually creates a throne on which he can rest, on which he can sit. And that whole picture of throne is directly linked with government and authority, right? So when we praise, when we create an atmosphere of praise, we're actually giving God place to rule and reign in that place. When we praise, when we have a morning of praise, where praise arises and ascends, it's giving God authority and welcoming him to come and establish his kingdom and do what he wants here, right? In that time. So in the 40 or 45 minutes that we worship, where there's praise, we give him permission in that time to do what he wants to do. And he can do funny things like make Eli's knee hurt a little bit and make him think, hey, maybe God wants to heal someone's knee. And like that is seriously evidence of we praise as and it's not so much, well, I want to say this, like he honors even weak praise, whether we're full and packed to the brim and it's loud and rocking, or whether, you know, it's the first Sunday of March break and a few people are gone and things like that, he still, when we praise, he comes and establishes a kingdom. He comes and does what he wants to do. And we remember, if you remember my definition, my working definition of heaven coming to earth, or the kingdom of heaven coming to earth, for me that looks like whatever is true and whatever is experience, whatever is reality in the throne room of God, that becoming reality here. So like right now, around the throne of God, there is no sickness. When the kingdom of God comes, sickness is gone. Right? In his presence, Psalm 16:11 is fullness of joy. When joy comes, or when the kingdom comes, joy is released. Like these are things that, this is what it looks like when the kingdom of God comes. And praise is a way, when we praise, it creates a throne where we're telling Jesus, we're telling the Father, you can do what you want here. You can express your kingdom. You can express yourself here. That's what praise does. And so And that's where I love. There's another verse I couldn't find. I know I couldn't find the reference, but where David says, "We'll make your praise glorious." It's a thing of not entering into it weakly, but making his praise glorious. And by weakly, I meant weak, not week. Right? But that's the thing. We don't want to. Like I want to encourage us not to be feeble in our praise. To not be quiet or timid, but to make his praise glorious, to make it something that is attractive. Any time we turn to him and sing to him, it's attractive to God, every time. But there's a thing of when we enter into it with our whole hearts and with passion. I grew up in a church that taught me that emotions and passion are kind of dangerous. And yeah, people can get off totally into that. And yeah, that's off center. But there is a thing about God loves it when we come to him with our whole heart. He loves it when we sing with all of our being. And so when we do that, when we make his praise glorious, it creates an even broader and even greater throne on which he can sit. Does that make sense? Does that kind of make sense at all? Okay, it makes sense to Jared. Okay, good. Sometimes a little bit of feedback is helpful, just to know if it's making sense or not, because that's a big thing. If we want God to be enthroned here, if we want to give God room to do what he wants to do, praise is a key. And the second one, and I touched on this earlier, praise literally shifts things in the spirit. I like to say in the atmosphere, but like in the spirit, it literally shifts and changes things. I want you to turn to Isaiah 42. We're going to read a passage here, Isaiah 42, verse 10. Isaiah 42, verse 10 says this: "Sing to the Lord a new song, and sing his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you coastlands and you inhabitants of them, Let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar inhabits. Let the inhabitants of Selah sing. Let them shout for joy from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands. And then verse 13 here. The Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall stir up his zeal like a man of war. He shall cry out. Yes, he will shout aloud. He will prevail against his enemies. Here's the thing I want to highlight here. It's three verses of calling not only Israel, like Isaiah ministered to Israel, but he's calling the inhabitants of the earth to praise. He's calling people, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing. Don't just sing a song that you know from 50 years ago, but like he's like, sing something fresh. Sing something that's out of revelation. You're thinking of who he is, what he's done. Sing from your heart to the Lord. Everyone, like from the ends of the earth, from the coastlands. The coastlands speak of far off places, like people from around the world. Like he's saying, lift up your voice, praise the Lord. And then he says, the response is the Lord shall go forth like a mighty man of war. Like God responds to the praises of his people. That's what I want you to see there. God actually responds when his people lift up their voices and praise him. Like he actually goes forth, he stirs up his zeal like a man of war. Like it's not a thing of, you know, okay, you twisted my arm, I got to do something for you. Like it's God is moved when his people praise. He is stirred up. His passion is aroused when his people come to him and praise. And he responds, he acts. And there's actually literal physical manifestations of this in the Old Testament. There's a few of them. Joshua chapter 6. Just jot these down. You can go read them. Joshua chapter 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verses 8 to 12, when Asa was the king of Judah. And chapter 20, verses 1 to 30, when Jehoshaphat was the king. And then Isaiah 36 and 37, when Hezekiah is the king. In all four of these examples, the people of Judah, or the people of Israel, depending on when it was in the history timeline there, they praised God. And God actually delivered them militarily. God actually intervened in a natural, physical, military conflict. Like, it was just crazy to think about. It sounds like cheating to me, in a sense, right? But we know this, like, with Joshua, the whole thing of marching around Jericho once a day, and then 7 days the last day, and the whole thing was the Levites went first. The worshipers went first, and then it was all worship. They shouted to God, they praised, and the walls of Jericho, which Jericho was known for its walls, for its defenses, the walls crumbled in front of them. Like, it's amazing. I love the one of Jehoshaphat. Like it was a blatant thing of they're marching into battle, so they can see the army, and they send the musicians out first, which is like. Being a musician, like, it's terrifying. Like, I'm going to march out here with my guitar and, I don't know. I could see, like, never mind. I'm not going to go there. So they send the worship team out in front of the army, and there's, like, a huge army in front of them. I don't remember the size of that army right now, so read it in the story. But, like, they go out there and God does something, and the army winds up like destroying itself and running. Like, why? When his people praise him, he literally gets involved with what's going on. He literally gets involved. So when I would say this: when we get to a point as a church where we're having a season where there's some sort of affront, some sort of challenge that we need to break through on, praise is one of the keys. Right? It's not grit your teeth and work harder. It's when we praise, we actually give control of the situation to God. Like we give him authority to fix it. Right? Like it's actually a means of us handing everything over to him. And he loves to show himself strong. I forget the reference now, but the eyes of the Lord look to and fro throughout the earth for ones whose hearts are loyal to him, that he may show himself strong on their behalf. God loves to find the ones whose hearts are directed towards him, who want to give him room to move so that he can show himself strong on their behalf. He loves to move for his people. He loves to do it. Like it's all through Scripture. It's what he does all the time. It's just like from Genesis to Revelation, he loves to intervene and move and make things happen for people who love him. He just loves to do that. And so praise is a way that we take whatever's going on, we can lay it aside, and we just fix our eyes on him. We express our agreement with who he is. And that's where it's powerful as well, because if you're in a season where something's hard and not going right, the accusation is God has forgotten you, or God has left you, or God doesn't care about you anymore. Praise is a way that we agree with the fact that God is good, that he is loving, and that he will never leave us or forsake us. It's a direct response to the lies of the enemy, and it gives God room to move and do what he wants to do. So I just wanted to lay this out and say, corporately, a key for us, if we want to see the kingdom of God come, corporately, a key is praise. It is to enter in to praise. When we come on a Sunday morning and through your life in the week, we want to be people who praise with, again, not W-E-A-K, not weekly, but we want to praise him with our whole hearts. We want to make room for him to come and do what he wants to do. He's showing glimpses of that. We've had healings here and there. We've had a few people come to the Lord in the storefront. We've had stuff like that happen. We want more of it. We want more of his kingdom. We want more of his joy. We want more of his life. We want all that stuff. Praise is a way we welcome him in. All right? So with that, let's stand. Only 5 minutes today. Doing better. Doing better. I'm almost there. Who clapped? Daryl did. Okay, it's all right. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for what you've done this morning. Lord, I thank you for healing Mike's knee. I thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, we just ask for more. We ask you to do more of what you love to do. We ask you to express your heart even more. Lord, we ask you to come with more healings. Would you release your kingdom in our midst? We thank you for that. And Lord, we ask that as we go forward, you would help us to remember who you are and what you've done, and to not stay silent about it. But Lord, help us be people who release that in praise, who confess with our mouths who you are and what you've done for us. And Lord, I thank you that you respond to the praises of your people. I thank you that you stir yourself up like a mighty man of war when your people sing out to you. And Lord, I ask that you would demonstrate that for us. Lord, I ask that you would clearly demonstrate you moving in power on our behalf when we praise you. Lord, I ask for that. Just in the next couple weeks, would you make that clear and real to us? And Lord, I ask that you would make us people of praise. Make us people who are set on praising you for who you are and what you do. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your presence. And God, we just ask that you'd seal these things in our heart and do them in our hearts as we move forward. In Jesus' name, amen.